Psalm 23, and share with you from God's Word. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pray that we would be obedient to you today, that we would say those things that you want us to say, that we would listen and comprehend the things that you want us to comprehend, and then that we would apply them to our lives. Pray that you would draw us close to you as we draw close to you. We pray that if there's one here this morning is not sure that if they died right now they'd go to heaven, I pray that they'd make sure of that before it's eternally too late. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I wrote down this verse in a way that I'd like for you to read it and follow along, or follow along as I read it. And I want to replace the pronoun he with the words the Lord. And I want to read it that way and help us to understand what this psalm is really saying. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord restoreth my soul. The Lord leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Lord, art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm probably is the most popular of all the passages in the Bible. People can quote it. Children in schools, in Christian schools, are required to memorize this psalm. And they read it, and they memorize it. And they quote it to one another, they quote it to the teacher, they stand before auditoriums full of other students and they quote it. They stand before auditoriums full of parents and quote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not lack anything that I need. I shall not lack anything. I want a lot of things. And so if we take the word and use the word want, we can say, well, wait a minute. I do want some things. But if you say, I shall not lack, then we understand it a little better. I shall not want. Now, I want a lot. And you want things too, and kids want things. And we have to realize that God supplies everything for us. He supplies our every need if we will rely upon Him. Now, He may not supply all of your wants, but He does supply all of our needs. I became confused at one particular time. When I read this psalm, I said, "But Lord, I need this, I need that, and I need a lot of things." And God said, "You don't need these things." He impressed upon my heart that I could get along without them. And I found out that a lot of things I can get along without. I don't need them. I like to have them. And I enjoy having those things, but I don't really need them. I found out I was paying $600 a month for storage. And I read in the scripture where it's called stuff. S-T-U-F-F. And I read it, and I read down two or three verses later, and it talked about that stuff again. A chapter later, it was still talking about stuff. And I got to thinking about that. You know, that's just all stuff. And so I decided I was going to get rid of it. So I called Dr. Andrews. He's the administrator of Florida Christian School, and one of our teenagers over in Tampa, he and Katie, his wife, and I said, "Robert, I want to get rid of some stuff." And he said, "Okay, I'll come and look at it." I said, "No, you don't have to look at it. Just take it." And he came and got a lot of this stuff. And a lot of other people. I needed to determine what was stuff and what was necessary. Because about 3 or 4 months after I got to feeling better from my brain aneurysm, you know, then I said, "I need to get someone. Oh, I don't have storage any longer." And that was in storage, and I gave it away, and I didn't have it any longer. And so we have to determine what is needs and what is stuff. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is in charge. The Lord is the one responsible for leading me in the way that I should go. God gives him direction. God gives the Holy Spirit direction, and the Holy Spirit gives me direction, and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are the ones who lead me. I am the servant. In this church, my responsibility is that of a servant. I'm to do what He tells me to do. He knows your every need. He knows what you need spiritually. He knows what you need physically. He knows what you need financially. He knows what you need emotionally. And by the way, we need to let our hearts be open and receptive to receive what He has for us when we read His Word, because He wants to give it to you. He does that through the pastor. He does that through you reading the Word every day. He does that through Bible teachers. He does that through circumstances. God wants to meet your needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one in charge. He's the one responsible for meeting my needs and guiding me. He says, "The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures." In green, fertile. That means they are very fertile. And when we go to that pasture, not pastor, but pasture. Some people feed on the pastor after they leave church and just chew him up and spit him out. Don't do that to me. But God leads us collectively and individually. God leads us in green pastures. Pastures where we can eat, and it's exactly what we need. He knows what we need. If our children decided that they needed chocolate every meal, would you give them chocolate every meal? No. You wouldn't give them chocolate every meal. But all they want is chocolate. No, they don't want to eat the... Well, maybe you don't. The green peas and the green beans and the corn and all of those things that are good for you. The lettuce and the vegetables and... Oh, I don't want to eat those things. But they're good for you. You need to eat them. And parents want to make sure that you feed your child a balanced meal. But the kid doesn't want a balanced meal. He wants chocolate. And if you give him chocolate every meal, and that's all you give him, he's going to have problems in just a few days. Our Lord knows exactly what we need. He wants to give us a balanced diet. And I'm talking about a diet consisting of the things that needs to come in our lives. Not necessarily eating, but a diet of emotional challenges, dietary challenges, physical challenges, mental challenges, and then spiritual challenges. It's important for us to grow. And the shepherd is responsible for our growth. The shepherd is the one who leads the flock of sheep to the greenest pastures. And in that, on that mountain, there are plateaus, and he knows where those plateaus are. And he knows where those sheep need to eat. And by the way, sheep can eat. Their teeth are so that they can clip the grass right at the very surface of the ground. Their feet are shade, so that when they walk, they really cultivate the land. And when a flock of sheep get through with an area, they have eaten it, they have plowed it, they have cultivated it, they have tamped it down, and it's ready to grow again. Sheep are the best of all animals that can not only eat the food, but they leave it in a better shape when they leave than when they came. And the shepherd knows where to lead them. The shepherd looks out and finds a place. Here is where I'll bring my flock tomorrow. God knows our every need. And so the Lord, as our shepherd, is in charge, and He's responsible for meeting all of our needs. And I shall not lack what I need, because He knows what I need, and He'll take me to the place where I have those needs met. Sometimes you think that God is not really concerned about you. Yes, He is. And don't ever think that He's not. His word says, casting your every care upon Him, for He careth for you. He does care for you. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. There in those fertile fields, He's able to lead us, and we in turn can rest and relax and eat as much as we need, as much as is necessary. And then He'll lead us on. I said He would lead us to where we can eat as much as is necessary. I don't know whether you know it or not, but if you don't wear some clothes for a period of time, they shrink. Right? I got this coat this morning. I haven't worn it in 4 or 5 years. All of a sudden, my shoulders are a little tight. I don't know why. It was the same size 6 or 7 years ago. But it shrunk. He feeds us what is necessary. He meets that need that you and I have. The Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. Did you know that sheep will not drink water that is moving? And so the shepherd leads them beside the still waters. When there's a creek or a river, there's always little side arms that are dug out, and the water goes in that little pool, and the current doesn't move it, and it's still. And they will go to that still water, and they will eat. Remember, I told you that their mouth is so shaped that they cut the grass off right at the ground. And so their nostrils will be right off in the water if it's not still. Have you ever taken a drink and got choked on
Just a sip of water?
Well, that's the way that the sheep would be if they stuck their nose down in running water.
And the shepherd knows where the still water is, and he leads them there. He surveys the land and looks. And as he surveys the land, he looks and finds a place where there's still water for his sheep. What a loving Savior.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father is the Good Shepherd. He leads us beside the still waters. He causes us to lay down in that green pastures and feed us so that we know what is good for us and we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about, is this good for me? Can I eat this? I have probably raised a lot more animals than I should have, but I have. I have seen little pigs born, and I've fed little pigs. I've seen calves born, and I've fed baby calves. I've seen horses born, and I've fed baby horses. I've seen chickens hatch, peacocks hatch, ducks, quail, you name it, all of those that hatch. I've seen rabbits and cats and dogs, possums and all the other things that have been born. My goats, and I guess my goats were probably my favorite of all. And as soon as they are born, they all start sucking. And you have to have a bottle there to feed them if they're not by their mom. And you hear the peacock now. Feed me, feed me. All the animals. They want to be taken care of. The shepherd takes care of those baby sheep. And the shepherd is the one that has to correct that lamb when he walks off and doesn't listen to his mom. Did you know that it hurts a shepherd to have to correct the sheep? Just as it hurts parents to have to correct our children. The shepherd has a staff. And that staff is about 6 feet, maybe 7 feet tall, and it has a crook on it, a hook on the end of it. That end is to reach when one of the sheep goes astray and he reaches out and catches it with that and he holds it. If it continues on and on and on, he'll take that staff and he will break one of its legs. And you don't think that hurts a shepherd? Yes, it does. And then, because it's got a broken leg, he has to put it on his shoulders and carry it. He puts the splint on it, and he has to carry that lamb or that sheep until it heals, because it can't walk. And so he has to carry the burden. When you get out of line. God has to discipline you. And God may have to allow some bad things to happen to you, but He's carrying you all the way because He cares for you. You go through life and there's circumstances in which you find yourself and you say, does God really care? Does He understand this? Yes, He does. And it hurts Him more than it hurts you. You've read where parents say, when they're disciplining their child, they're saying, now this hurts mommy worse than it's hurting you. Well, this hurts me worse than the daddy. It hurts me worse than it does you, because daddy loves you. And so I always thought, well, why don't you just take the punishment for me? God does care. And He did take the punishment for us. The Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, the Lord restoreth my soul, or my life. The word life, when you read the word soul, you can interchange the word life. And about 99% of the time in the Bible, and be correct. The Lord restoreth my life as restoration. The shepherd has broken that leg and mended it up with a splint. And now restoration is taking place. But He is resting on the shoulders of the shepherd while he is restored to health. Our Heavenly Father is watching over us. He's protecting us along the way. And we need to put our confidence and our trust in Him. The Lord leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. In the paths of righteousness, who are you following? Are you following friends, or are you following those who may work with you and they say, oh, it's all right, do this and do that. You just lie a little bit just to get the job done. And that's not the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness is doing things God honoring. And God leads us in the path to do things right. The Lord leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And notice it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. I guarantee you, if you're standing within 10 feet of a trunk of a tree, and that tree is cut down and it falls your way, it's going to crush you. But you can walk all day long around that tree, in and out of the shadow, and it will never hurt you. The shadow will not hurt. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Lord, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How often do we fear? How often do we wake up in the middle of the night and sweat is on our brow and we say, oh, what is going to take place? How am I going to handle this? And we should not be fearing because thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies. I can sit down. I can have a good meal and just sit down and enjoy it, even in the midst of my enemies. Why? Because I know that thou art with me. And because I know that I don't have to fear anything because you are going to be there, Lord. And we put our confidence and our trust in Him. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. With oil. Oil is representative of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to this. You and I, when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when by faith we applied the blood of the Lamb of God to our heart's door and placed it over by faith the door lintel and down the doorpost and accepted the blood of Jesus as payment for our sin, the Holy Spirit of God came and lives within us now and forever. And we need not fear any evil because you, dear Lord, are with us. And I will fear no evil because I've been anointed and the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy shall follow me, not only the goodness of God and the mercy of God is to me and with me and for me. Let me explain the difference in mercy and answers to prayer. Mercy is things that we never pray about, and yet God answers and works it out just as if we had prayed for it. We go tearing down the highway because we're late. And we come to an intersection, and the light is green, and we go through it. But just one block away, or two blocks away, there's an accident. Or the engine of another car flutters a little bit, so the guy puts the brakes on and says, I wonder why this thing is happening. He didn't see that red light that he had. If he had continued on, the Lord knew that he would have blown through that red light and broadsided you
and you'd have really been late. But God's mercy said, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to slow that car down just a few seconds so that you can get on through the red light and then you can go on. God's mercy. God watches over us, and it's His mercy that is everlasting. Psalm 136, every verse ends with, and the mercy of God endureth forever. And the mercy of God endureth forever. I'm thankful, and I pray often, thanking the Lord for His mercy. Now then, there's something else about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Not only is it to us, but wait a minute, it needs to be from us. We need to have goodness and mercy to other people. And if we have goodness and mercy to other people, we're not going to be bent on the fact that I've got to always be right. My way or the highway. Let somebody else have their way occasionally. Have mercy on people. We don't have to run over people. We don't have to be so arrogant and obnoxious that we're always right and knocking people around and running over people. As a Christian, we need to show goodness and mercy to other people. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I like this. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know how long forever is? Oh, let's see. What am I going to do Sunday? I could go to the Lord's house, but no, you know, I need to go to Walmart. They're having a sale. I go to Carrabba's and we can eat lunch on Sunday. But you know, the church people are going to be out, and we need to get there early, so we don't have time to go to church. And we plan our day. Well, I don't really have anything to do. I guess we'll just go to church, since we don't have anything else to do. And I want to do something, so I just go to church. Oh, wow. And read that. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to ask you, now, be careful, don't get mad at me, but I thought about having you raise your hand, and I thought, no, that's not really that important. It really won't make that much of an impression upon you. But then I said, you know what, I need to have everybody to stand that's going to come to the service tonight at 7. I said, no, that's not strong enough either. Maybe I would just get everybody to come down to the front, and that's going to come to church tonight at 7. I said, no, I can't do that either. I think you'd really get upset with me, so, and then you would never come back, so I guess I better just leave it alone. So I decided what I will do is, we'll close this service, and then I'll go ahead and I'll preach the message I was going to preach tonight, and then we'll dismiss. And so we've got another hour afterwards, after this one, so that way you can stay home tonight. I'm kidding. Well, some of you already made up your mind you're never coming back here again. I want to encourage you to come back in the evening services. We have two young men. Gary preached a week ago and 2 weeks ago. And Caleb Martinez just graduated from Crown College, and he's going to be preaching tonight. You know, that's an encouragement for a young preacher to have people to preach to. When nobody's there to preach to, and I'm not saying that nobody comes, because we don't have that situation, but a lot of you do not even come. On Sunday night or Wednesday night, you're only here for Sunday morning, and you don't come to Bible study, so you just come for the time that we're here right now. It says, I will dwell, that means live. I will be there all the time in the house of the Lord forever. Why did David say that? He said that because of this. Because he knows that God is able to give him what he needs. I shall not lack anything. God knows everything that I need. So I'm definitely going to be in his house and worship him and thank him. He's in charge. He's responsible. He makes me to lie down in green pastures in those fertile fields, and he supplies my every need. He leads me beside the still water so that I can get a drink without choking, without drowning. He restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I go through the shadow of death. I don't have to worry about it. I will fear no evil, so I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. Because he is with me. And I can eat and be relaxed and not worry and not be all frustrated. And eat a good meal in the presence of my enemies. In mercy and goodness comes to me from him. And because he has taught me goodness, and because he has taught me his mercy, I in turn can be good to one another, others, and I can be merciful unto them. And because of all of that, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I can learn those things. And I can encourage one another. And we have a young man, Caleb, is going to preach for us tonight. He's the son of the Spanish pastor at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We have a Spanish service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. For those of you who know of family and all, and you get them to come to the Spanish service. But Caleb just graduated from college and a good preacher. You need to encourage him. We are helping develop him into what God wants to use and what God has for him. This church, you are a part of this church. You are a part of shaping that young life to be one of our voices from the pulpits in the days to come. I'm an old man. I'm going to be gone before long. I'm not going to make it to 90 years old like Brother Yates. But I can do the job that God has given me to do now, and I can train young people as I've been doing all my life. A lot of pastors will never let Gary or anyone young stand in this pulpit and preach. Oh no, my pulpit is sacred. I'm not going to let anybody preach in my pulpit. Forget it. I've never been jealous over the pulpit. I want young people, the only way that you can develop into a preacher and study the Word of God and preach the Word of God is by experience and doing it. When I listen to some of the messages that I preached years and years ago, and I wonder, how in the world did anyone ever come back to hear that? But they did. And there's people around the world today that are preaching and teaching God's Word because I just kept on going. I didn't care. But they encouraged me because they were here. Please. That's a way that you can please God. You can be a blessing to people and you can please God. And that ought to be your prayer every day. That's my prayer every day. I pray that I can be a blessing to people and that I am pleasing to God. And you ought to pray that too. It'll help your attitude starting the day and throughout the day. Just pray that prayer. And it'll help you as you meet people. Am I pleasing the Lord? Am I pleasing to Him? Are you doing what He has for you to do? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord restoreth my soul. The Lord leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for the Lord's name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Lord, Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house forever. I won't look for an excuse of why not to come to a place where the Bible is going to be taught and is going to be preached. But I will look forward to it forever. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But forever. Every day. Oh, I wish we could have church every day. All day long, every day. Because the Lord is my shepherd. That's why I ask for prayer. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to commit ourselves to doing what God has for us to do. It's an encouragement to your pastor for you to be here. And when you're not here, it does discourage me. I don't like it when you're not here. I want you here. I want you to learn all that you can because I know that God has given me something that He has for you. And I know I can't be blamed for it, but I ask the Lord, what am I doing? Because they don't come. What am I doing?
And I'm always reminded of what God told Moses. He said, Moses, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Father, I pray that we'll just have a desire, as David had, to dwell in your word and in your house forever. I pray for those that are here that are not sure that if they died right now they'd go to heaven. I pray that they would make sure of that today. That they would pray this prayer so that they could know for sure they're on their way to heaven. And they could say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus died on the cross. And as the Lamb of God, He shed His blood to pay for my sins. And I now accept His shed blood as payment for my sins. And by faith I apply His blood to my heart's door. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name, amen.